Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this, this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, WEEI Afternoons. Nick Stevens just legitimately made me laugh off air.
Mm-hmm.
We'll keep that off air for now.
Mm-hmm.
No need. Maybe we'll do that in a off-air Six Rings podcast. We'll bring it to the listeners.
Right. Sponsored by insert name of beverage that is found frequently in our fridge here. Your opportunity to shine with us just moments away.
It is 5 o'clock. It is time now for The Drive.
This is The Drive.
Swings and drives one. High and deep. In the left field. Gone!
The top stories, stats, and quotes from around the sports world for your ride home. WEEI Afternoons.
The story of the day, the story of the weekend, the story of the month, maybe, is Drake May, Patriots quarterback. The evolution 4 games into the season that he has undergone. Now a top 5 passer in terms of passer rating, yards, and leading the NFL in completion percentage 3 weeks in a row. I would argue that Drake May has had 3 of his best games. If you were ranking the 16 games he's played in the National Football League, I think the top 3 might be the last 3 weeks you've seen. I think you can make an argument if you want that this Sunday performance was his best performance. It was efficient. It was mistake-free. He got the assistance of Marcus Jones. He got the assistance of a willing victim in Bryce Young and the Panthers. But it's the National Football League. It's hard to win. You know how hard it is to win on the Gillette Stadium turf?
How hard is it to win?
19 games, they had won 3. That tells you how hard it is.
Over 3 coaches with a lot of roster turnover, but it was so difficult that it took this team 3 tries. Third time was the charm for this iteration, the Mike Vrabel Patriots, to finally win a game.
So they get back out there, and Drake May leads the way. Drake May completes passes at an efficient rate. He goes 14 of 17, 2 passing touchdowns, has a rushing touchdown, and he leads them to a blowout victory for what has been in recent years a rare home victory. And we will talk to Drake May in just a few minutes. 5:15, the quarterback of the New England Patriots will join us here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, is he a top 10 quarterback? I'm seeing a lot of people pushing him into the top 10. A lot of people think he is already...
Top half,
I'll agree with. No, that's boring. Don't be boring. Okay. Is he a top 10 quarterback? So you say no.
Not yet.
Because top half would be 16. Top 10 is 6.
Now, I know
extras.
All of your advanced metrics like best CPOE, best EPA per play, up there with Tom Brady, first and only quarterback who running touchdown, passing touchdown, first three out of the first 4 games of the season, done a lot of like anomalous statistical achievements. At the same time, he still looks good. I'm not quite there yet.
Yeah, I'm not either.
I'm not top 10 yet.
I may have him in the Patriots Hall of Fame, but I don't have him in the current top 10 of NFL quarterbacks.
So a top 10 all-time Patriots quarterback.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Not a top 10 current NFL quarterback.
He's already in the competitive range of Steve Grogan.
Andrew Bledsoe. Like, that's the career trajectory, some of the numbers he's putting up.
He's no Tommy Hodson.
No. He's surpassed that. He's moved past all the – he's better than Mac Jones. Pause. You heard me. He's better than Mac Jones.
All right.
Who was a Pro Bowler and went to the playoffs. I firmly believe that. More talented than some of these guys that you have in there. So, yes, he is not a top 10 quarterback, but he is indeed – a Patriots Hall of Famer. His relationship with Stephon Diggs is evolving and could certainly define this season. If that is a true number one receiver that you saw on Sunday against the Panthers, first 100-yard game for Stephon Diggs with the Patriots and in quite some time, for a guy who, in case you need a reminder, this time a year ago had not yet torn his ACL. He's not a calendar year removed from his torn ACL. 30-plus-year-old receiver is now on the field, making plays, looking faster than our guy Drake May even thought he was, and the relationship was building. So, Stephon Diggs, how you feeling about your comfort level in the Patriots offense?
How would you categorize your comfort level in the offense now?
5 out of 10. You know, take it with a grain of salt. Obviously, having success is not. It's week to week. So, for me, I just say 5 out of 10 because you never want to get too comfortable.
Is that just how he feels?
Then he should study more. 5 out of 10.
Let's go get him.
We need to get going. I'll have to talk to Steph today.
You got to know the playbook inside and out.
Yeah, I just didn't know.
Five out of 10. I went to Ohio State. He's failing.
Yeah, that's not good.
So 5 out of 10, Stephon Diggs says, and his coach, you know, correctly, I think, calls him on that. Well, 5 out of 10 comfort level, caught 6 of 7 passes thrown his way for 101 yards yesterday, including a long of 33 yards, a 16.8-yard average. There was the back shoulder fade throw down the right sideline. That is generally a signal that quarterback and a wide receiver are on the same page. So if that's 5 out of 10, as a Patriots fan, you should wonder, well, what's 7 out of 10 going to look like? What's 8 out of 10 going to look like? Because if he stays healthy, I can virtually guarantee Steph Diggs is going to get better. Out of time in the system, working with, and that's what happens with guys coming off ACL. They get better as they kind of knock
off the rust.
He's not
even supposed to be off PUP or ready to play yet, and now he's had his first 100-yard game in just 4 freaking weeks.
So is he going to have 1,000 yards? He's got 213 through 4 games.
I did the math earlier, 53 times 17. That's going to get him into 900 yards. But here's the thing. If he has a 100-yard game every other week or once every 3 weeks, bump that a little bit more. Next thing you know, 1,100, 1,200 yards.
So he had 6 catches on 7 targets in week one. Then it dipped. He only had 7 total catches the next 2 weeks, back to 6 catches this week. I think Stephon Diggs, if he stays healthy, is going to be a rare Patriots 1,000-yard receiver, the first since Julian Edelman, a Patriots Hall of Famer as recently as this past week. And see, it all comes together full circle here in The Drive at 5 on WEEI Afternoons. Coming up next, the quarterback of the New England Patriots, Drake May. We'll talk to him next, but first, Dan Ball has what's trending.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this, this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Back here on WEEI Afternoons, and as we promised, we go right to the guest line for Drake May. Drake May on Patriots Monday on WEEI is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health. The experts in treating men's sexual health with six New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. By Windward Mental Health, start your healing journey now at windwardmentalhealth.com. And by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Drake, how we doing this week?
What's going on? Y'all got the music going. I like it.
You like that? That's in the Drake May playlist?
Oh, shoot. Whatever people want to play, that's cool with me.
I'll tell you what looked cool yesterday was the efficiency of your performance, the offensive performance. And I want to ask you, it seemed like Josh McDaniels, who a few weeks ago we were asking questions like too much on your plate, whatever, how are you guys getting along? Seemed like he was dialing up a lot of things that worked really well yesterday. There was that little series with the screen, the end around, then the fake end around run. Seemed like you and Josh were very much clicking yesterday. Is that fair to say?
True. That's what he's done. That's what done for a long time. Just glad that kind of we're able to keep going and build each and every week. We got guys that can have great skill sets and do different things. So I think we're starting to kind of get something going. So just got to keep going in the next week, and we got a tough challenge.
Drake, I know you were playing yesterday against the team you grew up rooting for, being a Charlotte native. Did you get a little extra geeked up, a little extra fired up to play a team that you grew up cheering for, and also hitting the Cam Newton celly in the end zone? Was that planned, improvised, just kind of like a little spur-of-the-moment exciting thing?
Yeah, you know, it was cool, man. You know, the team I grew up watching spent so many games in Bank of America Stadium back home. Used to be the kid with the Panther eye paint and the Panther face paint, shoot, growing up. But, no, I think it was, I don't know if I had a plan, but I had an idea before the game. I didn't know if I was going to do it or not. And just kind of one of those things where you decide when if it's the right time or not. So it felt like it was the right time.
You mentioned in terms of that celebration that you're not the most emotional guy. Cam was a more emotional quarterback, and sometimes maybe you need to be a little bit more emotional, but can it also be a good thing? It seems like if you're not super emotional, that probably allows you to be a little more even-keeled, not get too high or too low. Can that be a benefit to you?
Yeah, I think there's a common balance between that. You know, trying to be even-keeled and let nothing really bother you, let nothing get you too amped up. And then there's also, the part of where teammates want to see you amped up and feed off that. So just trying to find that, and you know, I think the guys respond to it well. So just trying to good balance between that.
So Ramondre obviously had a tough week 3 against the Steelers, putting the ball on the carpet 2 times. But Coach Vrabel understands his value to the team and how important it is to try to get work, to push past those mistakes. How important was it to have him out there for you and the offense? And what kind of message do you think that sends to your team?
Oh, it's huge. It's huge. It's confidence. It was confidence from the coaching staff, and it's confidence from the guys around us. You know, we didn't blink an eye. You know, we knew, you know, what Mondre, his capability and his effort to hold, take care of the football, and he almost got in the end zone. He really should have. I thought it was great to see him bounce back and look forward to him. We're going to need him all season.
As much as it looked easy on paper, and we're talking to Drake May on a Patriots Monday here on WEEI Afternoons, the game got off to a little bit of a slow start. The defense gave up the drive. You guys had the 3-and-out, and then you got the big punt return shortly thereafter. How much did Marcus Jones' punt return for a touchdown just inject life in everybody and sort of jumpstart what ended up being a rout?
Yeah, I think that could be kind of a jumpstart. It can be the kind of igniter, and I think it really was. You know, we had the first possession where I missed booty behind him, and you know, from there, I think just kind of felt like, okay, let's get this thing going, and that's what we felt like on the sideline. I think, you know, the offense responded well the next drives, and I really felt like the whole day that you know, the defense and their stuff just put some great spots, and we just kind of had to finish off the job.
So Steph Diggs said in his postgame presser as well yesterday, what did he say? He's a 5 out of 10 so far.
Yeah.
He's only at a 5 out of 10 in understanding the McDaniels offense. Looks pretty impressive for only being a 5 out of 10. Where would you put yourself numerically on a scale of 0 to 10 in understanding where everything is offensively?
I don't know about 0 out of 10. You know, I feel good. I feel good each every week. I think it's you know, I feel good with terminology and feel good getting in and out of some plays and getting, you know, different run looks. So I'm feeling better each and every week. You know, I think Steph, you know, really was hoping, you know, the 5 out of 10 meant he got a lot, you know, better to go, which I think was what he meant. But really from there, I think we just got to keep building. I mean, I mean, we still have our best football play ahead of us, and I think we're going to need that Sunday night.
You have been talking about wanting to get Steph the ball more, and he had 6 catches, 100-plus yards yesterday. There was one catch in particular that stood out to me, that throw down the right sideline, sort of the back shoulder. He came back for it. Usually those back shoulders are an indication that a quarterback, wide receiver, pretty good rapport, kind of on the same page. Is that a safe read from afar, and is that exciting to you, sort of how that relationship is growing between you and Steph?
Yeah, it's continuing to grow. You know, most of the stuff has been kind of across the middle and crossing routes with Steph, so it's good to see something outside, hit. And I think for those throws, it's just field. It's all field between me and the receiver, and I think he made a great play, and I need to get him in the end zone, so that's probably the next thing. He's got to break maybe one more tackle or so, but no, I was excited to see him do that, and it was good for him to get back out there and have a great week.
Great, obviously, to get a home win for the fans after 3 tries on the 2025 season. Now you guys are sitting at 2-2, but I'm not sure if you're aware statistically of how good things are going for you as well. Now you're accomplishing things early on in the season, Drake, with your passer rating, rushing touchdowns, passing touchdowns, that you're now in rare company of the Lamar Jacksons, the Josh Allens of the world, and there's actually a completion percentage and touchdown pass stat that compares you to Tom Brady. How does it feel to be in such vaunted company this early in your second season?
Oh, shoot, we got a lot of work to do, and especially myself. So, those things are cool that they bring out those stuff and stats, but like I said, I think getting wins is what those guys are remembered for, and we got a tough stretch of games and starting with Sunday night, so we got to get back out there and keep it going.
You told us last week that it's never as good or as bad on film as you think it is. So obviously the points, the statistics said it was a really good game. Now that you've broken down the film, what's one thing that wasn't as good as you'd hoped it could be or that you need to work on?
I think just a little thing, a little details on plays, to make it better. I think I missed Trayvon on the flat, a little bit behind him. I missed Booty on the first possession, a little bit behind him. So just try to be as happy as I can. I missed the open across, the middle O. So just the little things of, the incompletions I did have, I feel like we could have had back and had them complete. So just little things there. And then I thought the guys played hard and played well. So no comment on my teammates. I thought they played, did a great job.
Your coach said yesterday at the end of his post-game press conference, Drake, went on a little bit of a diatribe going on about some of the things that guys do that don't always show up on the stat sheet. Like yesterday, obviously, Pop Douglas had a tough time getting going, but had a big block, I believe, on one of the, I forget exactly when.
Hunter Henry.
The Hunter Henry play. Thank you very much, Andy. So how much does it mean to have those little moments highlighted, and do you guys always make a point of emphasis to shout out the guys that don't always show up on the stat sheet?
Yeah, Coach Raven does a great job in team meetings of pointing that out, and, Pop had a couple of huge blocks throughout the game, on the tight end screen, the hoop on the second drive, had a huge block. And
that's right.
Like you mentioned, the 100 touchdown run as well. So just guys that are keeping on just showing up and care about winning. That's what Coach Vrabel's preaching, and that's what's going to show up. And, the ball's going to find these guys that just keep playing hard. So, proud of that, and that's the stuff from film that you really look at back and the teammate coach be like, man, that's pretty cool seeing that.
Patriots quarterback Drake May here on a Patriots Monday on WEEI Afternoons. Drake, week one was a big game for Booty. Then it went your guy Stevenson. Then it went Hunter Henry. Then it was Stephon Diggs. How exciting as a quarterback is it to kind of show – everybody says, oh, this team doesn't have a number one target, but you show up each week and a different guy has been your number one target. You have a bunch of guys that can put up numbers and beat the defense.
Yeah, I keep telling people that, and I think they're starting to see it. We got a lot of different guys that can make plays and agree with the ball. So it's really not shooting out what the play is, or not who gets it. It's just really just who happens to get it that play, and who falls apart in the progression or the read or the scheme. And I think Coach McDaniel's doing a great job of getting guys in that spot. And the crazy part, we've left a lot of plays out there on film that we probably should have even bigger games for other guys. So.
Well, I know I've mentioned the names of a lot of other quarterbacks during this interview, but obviously in your short time in the NFL, Drake, you've been compared to Josh Allen. It's a great benchmark as well. Obviously, he's having a phenomenal career, MVP caliber season again. They're atop the AFC East 4-0, and now you guys get to travel to Orchard Park to renew rivalries with some very friendly fans over there for Buffalo. How excited do you get facing off against somebody like Josh, and how much do you love going into hostile territory like that?
Yeah, I think it's, and I love going on the road. I love playing away games. I've loved it since high school football, where you go into your rivalries at their place and win a game with the student section. So I love the college, and starting to love it in the NFL. It's awesome going on the road, and it's a challenge. It's tough, and I think it feels good when you get one on the road. So yeah, tough challenges. It was as tough as you get the AFC with the Bills and how they've played the past couple of years, and I think we went there last year and started fast, and I think we just got to try to have the same mindset, start fast, and I think it's about us, like we did this past week. It's about us and not about them, and like I said, we got a tough challenge and looking forward to it.
Josh Allen's a guy that finds the end zone with his arm and with his legs. You've been doing that early in the season, so this may be a little bit of a unique question, but what feels better, throwing a touchdown pass or scoring a touchdown run?
Oh, I think throwing a touchdown pass. I think when two people score, it's a lot better. So I always try to tell guys, hey, if I choose, if you're wide open and I'm wide open to run it, I'm going to throw it. So that's what I always tell them. But if you do have to run it in, I know the guys aren't too mad about it either.
Before we get to the quarterback question of the week, I noted yesterday in your press conference after the game, you referenced the one sack, which was a short sack, and you joked that you apologized to the offensive line. Did you kind of screw them out of a shutout there?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I did, and it's just a bummer. I'm just mad at myself, but hey, I think those guys know it. It wasn't on them, so I apologize. And I tried to do that. I think I've taken a couple no-yard sacks this year, which is I think I even took one running out of bounds one time. So I've just got to be mindful of that and know those guys. They'll play their butts off all game, so it means something to them, and they do a great job of keeping me. So.
Yeah, you could make it up with a Christmas gift or maybe like a nice steak dinner sometime.
Yeah, no doubt.
Oh, yeah, you got to start thinking about those Christmas gifts. You quarterbacks in the NFL, everybody's watching and everybody plays one. They're giving out cars and golf carts.
Yeah.
It's probably, I know it's only late September. You probably got to start that on your to-do list, what you're going to get your linemen this year. Have you thought about it at all?
Yeah, you got to start on early. You got to start on early, and I think it's one of those things where you can't do it last minute. You got to put some thought into it, and those guys care about it, so.
Also helps if you get a sponsor involved. I think Brock Purdy got Toyota to basically give his offensive line cars. So you get the credit, but let the car dealership give the gift. All right, now time for the quarterback question of the week here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health with 6 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. And this comes from Chris in Carlisle. Have you ever been starstruck? And I think this is probably based on, you've talked about you met Cam Newton and Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, and then even yesterday, Jaylen Brown's on the field, Mark Wahlberg. Have you ever been starstruck, or who would you be starstruck by if you met them?
That's a great question. Yeah, I really haven't found myself being starstruck kind of in person. I think it's one of those things that kind of starstruck kind of gets surprised by them. So most of the people that I've met, I kind of know they have an idea that they're there. I think as a young kid, you used to get starstruck when you see players come up to you and being at old camps, training camps, and seeing Cam Newton and Luke Kuechly and those guys. Since my time as an adult, I think maybe the first time meeting Tom, when I met Tom, you're a little starstruck. I mean, the greatest to ever do it. He's probably up there at number one for me. So anytime you see the best to do it, it's pretty cool.
On the flip side of that, you said you remember being starstruck by players. Have you experienced that when you're meeting kids now, that Drake May is making them feel starstruck?
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. I think you see people dressing up as me for Halloween and stuff like that. That it's a good reminder of how much I can mean to kids and fans out there. It means the world.
All right, Drake, appreciate you joining us. Good luck in Buffalo, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sweet. Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks, Drake.
Thanks, Drake.
That's Drake May, the quarterback of your New England Patriots on a Patriots Monday here on WEEI Afternoons. Yes, it is.
No go Pats. Just saying. No go.
Where was it this time?
Whoa, I don't know.
Why don't we get it unless we have to prompt him for it?
He did say it was more of an in-person thing. And so my next level of that is, so Drake, let's do this in person. We're happy to come down to Gillette Stadium. You come down, we'll revisit it. We don't need to sit on the leather couches if you don't want. If we bumped knees that one time, I'm sorry.
Did you fart? Like, what happened?
No, seriously. We bumped knees a little bit. I think it was a weird touching of legs.
Ew, why would you do that? That's like Curb Your Enthusiasm level cringe.
It was never bumped knees.
It was a little studio.
No nub bumps.
That's why we went to the table.
Cannot nub bump.
We never bumped nubs, apparently, if that's what we're calling them, when we sat at the desk. So we could always do that again. Dan Ball, you picked up on something in the middle of that interview that I want you to bring to the air. The question I asked about this idea that they don't have a number one wide receiver and that they've had a different guy kind of be the standout guy for four straight weeks to open the season. I don't know if Stiz has the audio ready just yet. Okay, Stiz has the answer to that question.
Yeah, it's continuing to grow. You know, most of the stuff has been kind of across the middle and crossing around some steps.
Stiz does not have the answer to that question.
We'll grab that, but I can elaborate. So you asked the, all right, week one, Kayshawn Booty was your leading receiver. Week two, big week for Ramondre, Hunter Henry, Stephon Diggs.
And it's a different guy every week.
Yeah, how great does it feel? And I was taken aback, and he very rarely shows any emotion ever. Like, even liking a song that was our rejoin seemed to be too much this week.
The text line said it's confirmed he's a robot.
Yeah, and I think that's by design, and that's fine. He's guarded, and that's fine, and maybe Boston media forces it out of you. I don't know. He said this.
Yeah, I keep telling people that, and I think they're starting to see it. You know, we got a lot of different guys that can make plays and agree with the ball, so I'm just really not shooting out what the play is or not who gets it. It's just really just who happens to get at that play and who falls apart in the progression or the read or the scheme. And I think Coach McDaniel's doing a great job of getting guys in that spot. And the crazy part, we've left a lot of plays out there on film that we probably should have even bigger games for other guys. So
I keep telling people.
Okay, so I like that you perked up there.
Yeah.
So is he talking about telling people outside the building or inside the building?
My perception was outside the building.
Could it be inside the building?
Expound.
That I tell these guys, because Mike Vrabel, I don't know if we have a chance to run his audio, last night said they need to trust the quarterback that he'll get the ball to the open receiver. So it feels like Mike Vrabel has been telling everybody, you guys are all good. Trust Drake to get you the ball when you're open. Trust Josh to get you the ball. He even had a comment like, we got a lot of red zone plays. We'll all get you all touchdowns at some point. And it made me wonder if it's convincing these guys, because Mike Vrabel's been big on this all year, convincing guys that your own value and the team value, those can be parallel roads and you can help the team even if it's not necessarily piling up your statistics. He talked about it with Christian Barmore, talked about it with Christian Gonzalez. And I wonder if that's the message they're pounding home is, you're all good. You all have the ability to contribute. Drake will get you the ball. And through 4 weeks, four different guys have gotten those opportunities. Because I think the easy answer is to say, yeah, I've been saying this since training camp to all you reporters who keep telling me we don't have a number one receiver. That's great if he's telling the people outside the building. But if he's also convincing the people inside the building, for example, Josh Allen has this thing where he calls some routes for the love of the game routes. You ain't getting the ball. Run the damn route for the love of the game. You're opening somebody else. You're pulling a safety off so I can hit somebody backside. It almost feels like this is a version of their run your for the love of your game route, because you're going to get yours at some point.
Mm-hmm.
The opportunities are going to come to you. Good catch, Dan Ball. And here's Mike Vrabel from last night talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
And again, I like when everybody is involved and the quarterback just throws to the guy that's open every play, no matter who it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No matter who it is. That's an interesting little tack on.
Even if it's a defensive end running a tight end's route in the Super Bowl.
And, for example, Pop Douglas getting praised for his block. Mm-hmm. And Vrabel saying, I'm sure Pop would love to have more catches. Like that kind of. I just feel like given that there's a vacuum, they all know that Randy Moss isn't on the depth chart. If you show up and it's Moss and Welker and you're the third and fourth receiver, you're the third and fourth receiver. You know where you fall in line. But when you're on a team that doesn't have a number one, doesn't that allow you a little more freedom to dream? Well, if I'm Mac Hollins, I could be the number one. If I'm Pop Douglas, I should be the guy getting 100 targets.
Oh, most definitely not.
If I'm Stephon Diggs, I should be back to all-pro Stephon Diggs like I was in Buffalo.
I bet you if you asked them, though, if you did like an anonymous poll, they would all say that Diggs is number one.
This week. Would they have said that last week when he had three targets for three catches for 23 yards and hadn't had a game in which he had averaged over 10 yards
a catch?
Ooh,
is this the new equivalent of six aces?
I'm just wondering. It's a good catch, Dan Ball. The old radio ear was working in there, even on the somewhat suspect phone. We did have a texter wanting to start a GoFundMe for a Drake May phone. That will be a little clearer.
Landline, please, for the love of God.
But it is interesting that he said, I keep telling people that. And, you know, now hopefully they'll believe it. And with Vrabel saying, trust the quarterback, there's a little bit of a, I think we're painting a picture of the evolution of the pass catchers. And we all know it. We all say the same thing. They don't have an alpha. I mean, the best receiver on the field yesterday was probably Tet McMillan, right? Based on his short stint of success in Carolina. And, you know, we'll see where Steph Diggs gets to in November and December. We'll see where, you know, Kyle Williams gets to, if he evolves or whatever. But, I mean, Mac Hollins is what he is at this point in his career. I think you got to say Pop Douglas is what he is at this point in his career. And he's not what I thought he was going to be. He's not going to be a 100-catch slot machine kind of guy in this offense. Hunter Henry, nice player. Austin Hooper?
He's good.
I mean, he's good.
Hoop looked like a wagon going down the sidelines on that.
But Hunter Henry is not Travis Kelce for Patrick Mahomes. He's not going to be a 1,000-yard tight end who gets every throw.
But I still think I can justify my draft pick preseason of him being an important member of the Patriots. I think that I think that decision can be justified thus far.
He's an important member of the Patriots. I will give you that, especially as a captain, especially after his contributions. He's had two good games so far, and he's got three touchdowns through four games.
That's my guy.
I mean, he's on by far a pace for a career high in touchdowns. What's his previous? Six? Seven? I mean, it's not very high.
Hunter Henry?
Yeah.
Six.
Yeah. So
he's a six-tutty guy.
In four games, he has three touchdowns. Mm-hmm. He is on pace to obliterate.
Don't jinx him.
Obliterate.
Don't jinx it.
But I think the best thing this offense has going for it right now is that right there, spreading the ball around. None of them are good enough to be the guy. None of them are good enough to beat, like, double coverage, rotated coverage, all these things. They're the sum of the parts is greater than the parts or whatever, that whole thing. Yeah. The strength is in these numbers for these guys. And apparently Drake May and Mike Vrabel are preaching that behind the scenes. I bet you Josh McDaniels is preaching the same thing. 617-779-7937. We appreciate Drake May joining us. Better late than never, as they say in the business. Coming up next here on WEEI Afternoons. It's time for Odds and Ends. We're getting the hell out of here. Stick around.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this, this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
The return of the Mac, and this would definitely be on my top 20, like, make you feel good list of songs.
Don't ask Drake for his.
Yeah, he brought it up. He brought it up and then, like, immediately clamped up when I asked about it. Anyway.
Yeah, don't ask him about Mark Morrison.
Time now for Odds and Ends here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Cars for Kids, your trusted charity for car donations. Also accepts donations of boats, RVs, motorcycles, and real estate. Call today, 877-CARS-4-KIDS. That's Cars with a K. It's Monday. That means we need a little recap of our pathetic pick six.
A pick six!
He's picked! Touchdown!
touchdown on a pick six.
Jones with the pick six.
And he flips the game.
Let's go!
Spoiler alert.
We stink.
Yeah, unfortunately, Andy's $2 was once again a donation this week.
It's only $2.
For the pick six.
But we're 4 weeks in, it's $8. At 17 weeks or 18 weeks with buys, it's going to be $36. That's a meal.
How could this not have been... It's a very small meal, for one.
Still a meal.
How could this not have been a Sunday that just took everybody to the cleaners? I mean, there were so many games where there's just no way you could have seen... Like my selection, like Andy's selection, like so many selections.
It's funny you mentioned that. Stiz, let's get it going.
Quick little passes right away. Boom. End zone bound. Caught. Touchdown, Kansas City. Tyquan Thornton.
That name continues to strike again and again and
it's
again.
Unbelievable.
It was Chiefs 37, Ravens 20. Unfortunately, Andy's pick of Ravens minus 2.5 did not hit. The Chiefs have now won consecutive games by 13 or more points for the first time since December of 2021. And keep an eye out for the Ravens moving forward. Lamar Jackson left midway through the third quarter of the game after being sacked by George Karlaftis. Head coach John Harbaugh said after the game, quote, "There's nothing that looks like it's season ending by any stretch for anybody." But it is the worst start for the Ravens in a decade at 1-3.
So two quick notes on that. It's also Ted Johnson's pick because he tried to piggyback and take the same pick. And then he tried to claim I was an idiot for making the pick, even though he wanted to make the pick. Secondary to that, the Tyquan Thornton thing starting to not be cute anymore. It was one thing when he was just running like deep balls. Oh, the skinny guy who's fast is running down the field and sometimes Mahomes hits him. That touchdown right there was like a red zone post or something. He looked like a regular receiver just catching the ball over the middle with strong hands. Now it's starting to be annoying. It's starting to really be freaking annoying that Tyquan Thornton's becoming good in Kansas City.
Yeah, he's actually, it took him 4 years. You know, they say year two jump, maybe year three jump for receivers. Well, you got to
watch. Change the scenery?
No, take 2002 away because of the Patricia offense. So it's technically his third year.
I don't know. Do we want him back? I don't.
No.
But we want that pick back because Andy was a loser this weekend. We're 0-1 so far. Stiz, what's next?
This for the tie, 34. And this one is good, and this one ends in the second highest scoring tie game.
A game that featured 7 lead changes, the most in a tie in NFL history. Micah Parsons, in his first game against the Cowboys, finished with 4 pressures, 2 of which came in overtime. As mentioned earlier, it was a scoregami, the 1,093rd unique score in NFL history. 40-40. Fitzy, don't know how you could have predicted that one.
No, I had no idea that it was going to end up with the old Jay-Z nightclub sports bar score. Zero chance in the world. Never thought. I thought Dallas could maybe score some points, but not keep up with Green Bay. And to see the lead changes that took place in that second half, thoroughly entertaining, thoroughly enraging if you wagered on it, like me.
Also led to another uncomfortable Jerry Jones moment. Did you see the one reporter? Does it taste like kissing your sister? I don't know. You tell me. What's it taste like to the reporter?
All I know is that last night I thought I was going to get glory hole.
Okay, I don't think we should say that.
Okay,
Jerry can get away with it. I don't think we should.
Onward, we'll leave that one right there. Next is...
Taking out the 45, Khalif Raymond. Across midfield, still going. One man to beat, it's the punter, Bohorquez. Touchdown, Khalif Raymond.
It's almost like Dan Campbell knew that he was due, right? Khalif Raymond, super explosive.
Almost like he knew. The final, it was Lions 34, Bengals 10. So Ted Johnson was correct, having the Lions at minus 10. Lions star Aiden Hutchinson is the first player in franchise history to accumulate 5 quarterback hits, 4 sacks, and 2 forced fumbles in any 3-game span.
He
looks pretty darn good to return from injury.
Coming off a broken leg to win comeback player of the year.
See, this is what's so drunken about this season. Week 1, the Lions can't do crap in Green Bay against Green Bay, yet Green Bay Week 4 gives up 40 to Dallas, and now the Lions look like an absolute wagon that no one's going to be able to touch.
And, Dan Campbell, you're a better coach than I thought you were.
Yep. Yep, you just got to accept that at that point.
And thanks
a
lot.
And a better interview, too, because Ben Johnson had himself a rough weekend. We'll get to that in a moment. Next one, Stiz.
13 to neighbors, 7 before that. Here's a run again by Dart. First and 10. He'll take it in. His first career touchdown. And the Giants on top.
Jackson Dart was the... was the way to solve things for the New York Giants, that's for sure. The full list of quarterbacks to win their first career start against a team 3-0 or better over the last 20 years, that's Jackson Dart, and the end of the list. It was Giants 21 and Chargers 18. I lost that one, picking the Chargers minus six, and the Giants lost Malik Nabers for the season with an ACL injury. And the Turf Monster at MetLife Stadium
that
strikes again.
That place has got to go.
That's awful for the Giants and Nabers, obviously. Stud. But also, the Chargers lost Joe Alt. So they could be down Rashawn Slater and Joe Alt. They have the two best tackle tandem in the NFL. Now they may have neither of them.
How long is Alt out for?
I don't think for the season, but it looks like he got carted off. Ooh. So you went from, if you're Justin Herbert, you went from having like two hosses over there to like, who the hell are these guys that are out here?
Next one's Diz.
Dizzard.
Game-winning drives in his career. Trying to start one here, and he's got Atwell all alone! 2-2 Atwell! And it's 2-2 goodbye!
I didn't find that overly clever, but it got the point across. 2-2 Atwell, 88-yard
touchdown.
Sounds like
something I would say.
I know.
2-2 goodbye?
That was for Matthew Stafford with a minute 33 to play, the longest touchdown throw of Matt Stafford's career. Rams 27, Colts 20. A couple turnovers from Daniel Jones. A fumble as Adonai Mitchell was taking one over the goal line. Lost it before he crossed the goal line. Ended up being a fumble. Ball went back to the Rams. Whole thing. Colts kind of beat themselves, but Rams were a winner. Stiz, a loser this weekend.
Stupid Adonai Mitchell. Cost him two touchdowns.
Right.
Unbelievable.
He's a... immature guy. I wanted him to the Patriots coming out, and I was told that there's like a lot of off-field red flags and issues there with him. But yeah, it is what it is. And Puka Nacua needs his love. 500 yards through four games.
Also, real quick update on Joe Alt. X-rays negative. Looks like it's just a high ankle sprain. Wanted to go back into the game. Could just be out a couple weeks.
All right. There you go. That's decent news for some who are very high in the Chargers, like one Nick Fitzy Stevens. Last one says...
The snapper, A.J. Cole, the holder. The kick is blocked. Unbelievable. In agony down on that Vegas sideline. It was Josh Blackwell sneaking in who got a fingertip on it.
It was Bears 25, Raiders 24. Bears cover at +1.5, according to Brian Frazoka, who had that pick. He's a winner this week. The first time since 2013 that the Bears offense has scored 20 or more points in each of their first four games to begin the season. Bears also have their own Roman Empire that is forming. Roma Dunze has scored in every game in 2025. The last Bears player to score a touchdown in each of the team's first four or more games of a season, Walter Payton in 1986.
Pretty good company.
Not bad.
It's kind of like our Roman Empire when it was always like Ted Williams, Ted Williams, Ted Williams. Everything Roman Anthony does is compared to Ted Williams. Okay, so we sucked on the parlay. We went 3-3. We all nailed the Patriots pick. We all picked the Patriots. Yep. Patriots won. Many of us thought they'd win by double digits. They indeed did. So at least we know the local team. It's the national.
Yeah, we nailed something.
We don't know. Christian Arcan, how we doing tonight?
Hi there.
What's happening?
Not too much. I did not nail the local team.
No,
I had Carolina +5.5.
You took the Panthers?
And for the first two drives of the game, I was feeling pretty smart. I almost cashed out.
You should have hit the cash.
$13 there would have really helped out. And then the rest of the game happens. But I don't know. For some reason, I didn't think that the defense would be able to contain them as well as they did. The offense, I thought, would score not as much as they did either. But it ended up being much, much better than what I was expecting. And you know what I was just thinking when I was driving in here and listening to you guys talk to Drake May and the Cam Newton celebration and all that, is what a travesty it is that Cam Newton in his final year mentored Mac Jones and not Drake May, because I think he could have really helped Drake May a lot more than he did Mac Jones. And maybe he's not a great mentor. I don't know, because since he's retired, I've seen all these videos of him getting like jumped by kids at his football camp or whatever. Yeah. And he's fighting like four kids at a time, whatever it is. Or like, you know, going back and
forth
with some
disrespect for Cam Newton.
A lot of that, yeah. But I just sort of feel like with, you know, because May grew up, he grew up idolizing him, right? Carolina guy. Mm-hmm. And he's a big guy who uses his body in a way, fat, you know, he can run, big arm, all that stuff. I just think maybe would have translated better from Cam Newton to Drake May than it did to Mac Jones.
And with Mike Vrabel asking Drake May to be more sort of emotional and energetic.
Yeah.
Cam Newton certainly had plenty of that.
For sure.
That was a big part of his career. I hadn't thought about that. That would have been, I don't know if Cam's a great leader, but at least from Drake May's perspective, that probably would have been pretty cool.
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, that's who he said. He said he grew up, you know, idolizing Cam Newton.
How you,
makes sense.
How are you feeling about these Red Sox? How are you feeling about the fact that Bregman had some sort of sickness and just got to New York on his own?
Bregman, I hope, can overcome whatever that is. He's just started hitting again at the end of the year, so that would be real nice to see that continue. And this Giolito news, I think, is kind of devastating, honestly. I mean, the fact that he was clearly pitching through something at the end of this season, which he obviously was. I mean, if there's elbow stud, then he was pitching through
Couldn't get through five.
And you could tell because he was walking a ton of batters, and he couldn't get deep into games. If he didn't pitch through that, if he said, hey, I got tightness in my elbow back whenever this started, which I can't imagine was, you know, today, then this team with Crochet, Bayo, and three rookies maybe doesn't make the playoffs. So props to him for battling through it.
And he also had some money and a contract on the line.
Ooh,
right?
He came five innings short, though. Did they?
Well, he hit
the
first one, not the second one.
I hope the Red Sox gave him a nice little rum topper there.
Rum topper. What do you got? What do you got tonight?
I have 1 hour until the Monday night doubleheader. We're only carrying one of the games though, and we will have a Dong Report recap of all the regular season Dongs. It's very extensive. It's going to take a very long time.
Dong review.
Some Giolito talk as well, and some Patriots reaction. I don't have a lot of time here, so I got to just cram it all in.
But there'll be a lot of energy, a lot of yelling,
yes,
a lot of passion, a lot of emotion. A lot of I'm sorry for picking the Panthers. I'll never pick against the Patriots again. Talk from Christian Arcan up next. On the Christian Arcan Show for a full hour leading into Monday Night Football. We'll be back tomorrow, 2 to 5, because it's Red Sox baseball time. Red Sox, Yankees in New York. We'll talk to our buddy Mark Schlereth, who was awesome on the broadcast for Fox on Sunday. We'll also talk to Brian Hoyer. All that and more tomorrow, WEEI Afternoons, 2 to 5. See you.
And you can't take your eyes off
the Red Sox!
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.